Good morning. It is great to see you here this morning. It is great for you to join us at home. We continue to have more people join us in person. And if you haven't been with us, or I see some folks visiting from out of town, know that you are welcome. Folks at home, I say this a lot, but know that you are loved, you are missed. We are thinking about you. We still need you, and we are still here for you. So wherever you are, when you gather to worship with us, and whatever time of day, because some join us at 10 and some watch later in the day or later in the week, know that we're in this together and that love surrounds us, our love for each other, God's love for us. So we are glad that you are here. If you have your Bible open to Luke chapter 6 as we continue in our series Different in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to start in verse 36. And we're going to spend most of our time in this section this morning. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I want to begin this morning by introducing you to Jessica Long. She is a 28-year-old swimmer. She has won 12 gold medals, along with all kinds of silver and bronze. Now, what is not obvious, based on the picture I'm showing you right now, and depending on the encounter you might have with Jessica, is that the medals she has won in swimming are in the Paralympics. Jessica is a double amputee, and she had problems with her legs at birth. She had that surgery at 18 months old, and when she's not swimming, oftentimes she gets around with prosthetic legs, although not all the time. And you can see in that picture what she looks like when she's wearing them, what she looks like when she is working on them, and I don't know much about her. What I do know is impressive. She is resilient. She is accomplished. But honestly, the reason I know something about her is based on an encounter that she had this week, that she decided to share about that encounter. And rather than me describe it, I thought we could watch and listen as she describes the encounter that she had. So let's watch.
So it just happened again. I was parking my car, and this woman just has the nerve to look me up and down, disgusted that I parked in a handicap spot. And yes, look, I have a handicap pass. I don't have legs. So that's kind of what I told her, which I don't even need to tell her, but she just kind of rolled down her window and proceeded to be like, you shouldn't park there. And I was just like, okay, I'm an amputee. I don't have legs. That's why I'm parked in a handicap. That's why I have the handicap pass. And she kind of just drove off. But this happens a lot. I was never bullied as a kid, and I didn't know that I was going to be bullied by adults because I park in handicap. And I get it. I'm young. I'm athletic. But I'm also missing legs. And I know I make it look easy, but it's still really hard. My legs are heavy. They hurt me. I'm in pain. So what? Like, I don't have legs. That's why I park in handicap. So to all the handicap police out there, just be kind. You don't need to know why someone's parked in handicap. And yeah, just be kind.
Okay, there's a lot I like about that video. Just the ending. Just be kind. That's enough right there, right? Just be kind. You don't always have to know everything. Just be kind. But I also like when she says, I get it. I'm young, I'm athletic, but I'm also missing legs. And I know I make it look easy, but it's still really hard. And she goes on to talk about, she's a fast talker, so in case you miss that, she goes on to talk about that her legs are really heavy and they hurt. It's painful to get around. Now, before I come back to Jessica and the unknown woman who reprimands her, I really want to talk about this as a way to explore and maybe confess times when we're tempted to do something similar. And let me say right off the bat that regarding the unknown lady who reprimands her in the parking lot, I do not want to judge that lady. You see what I'm doing there? Or at least what I'm going to try to do there, because I need to confess that sometimes the times when I am most judgmental is when I think other people are being judgmental and legalistic. How's that for ironic? But when I perceive someone else to be judgmental and legalistic, it brings out the judgmental in me. So this is a work in progress for me. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that not all judgment comes from the same place. So some judgment can come from a place of feeling superior, right? We judge sometimes when we feel we are morally superior, when our position is superior, when our religion, our spirituality is superior, when we think someone else is inferior, then we feel justified in our judgment. And sometimes judgment comes from places of power, trying to maintain places of power and superiority, or trying to get to places of power. And so when we can judge someone else to be wrong or immoral or inferior, then that gives us a certain feeling, if not a certain position of power over other people. It can bring them down, and at least in our minds, it can lift us up at the same time. But let's go back to the unnamed lady, the reprimanding lady in the parking lot. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I am going to assume that the judgment that she gives is coming from a good place, with good intentions. It is not intentionally malicious or mean. Maybe she knows someone who's needed a reserved parking spot, and they've been taken by people who don't need them. And she's trying to right those wrongs. She's trying to protect those spots. And we don't have to imagine that that happens. We know that happens. In fact, Arkansas has a hotline set up that you can call if someone is parked in a reserved spot, a handicapped spot, and they shouldn't be there, or you think they shouldn't be there, trying to protect those for people who need them. So we can assume, we can give her the benefit of the doubt that she is coming from a good place. She's trying to do something good. And if we take a step back from that story, and we look at some of the encounters that Jesus has with different people in the Gospels, particularly religious leaders in the Gospels, like Pharisees, like teachers of the law, like leaders at the synagogue, their churches in different towns, like we saw last week in four different Sabbath day encounters. I think if we look at those stories and we understand the context, then those situations are a little more complicated than we sometimes make them out to be. So sometimes we paint all the religious leaders with the same brush. It is easy to make them two-dimensional figures. They are like those cartoon characters of old that would always wear black hats and have the twisty mustache. And just by looking at them, you know something's off about those people. It's easy to see. They are wicked. They are evil. Something is wrong. But when you understand where a lot of the religious leaders are coming from, there is some hypocrisy, no doubt, and Jesus calls them on it. But the idea behind a lot of the action, it comes from their reading of Scripture, of the Old Testament. And in particular, it comes from their understanding that the reason Israel is in the spot that it's in, occupied, oppressed by another government, the reason things are rough for them and not as they should be is that people have abandoned the laws of God. And if we can just get it right, and not just as individuals, but as a nation, if we can just get it right, then God will make things right. God will lift us up. In fact, God will lift up a leader, a Messiah, to get us in that place of prosperity that God promised, if we can just get it right. And if we can help other people get things right by pointing out where they are wrong, then won't that be good for everyone? Won't that raise us up as a people? I don't think they're all coming from that place, but I think a lot of them are coming from that place based on those convictions. And yet over and over, we see clashes with Jesus. We see problems that it creates. So what's wrong with a little judgment and condemnation if we think we're righting wrongs for ourselves and in others? We're righting the ship. Well, Jesus keeps pointing out there's several problems with that. And one problem is it assumes we see more than we really do. So if we go back to the Jessica Long story of being judged for parking in a handicapped parking spot, my guess is that woman thinks, based on seeing a little, that she sees the whole picture. She thinks she sees more than she actually sees. I was recently introduced to a wonderful quote. It's often attributed to Walt Whitman, and I don't know, there's debate as to whether he's the one that originated the quote, but the quote is, "Be curious, not judgmental." And I love that quote. What if our compassion and kindness led us to curiosity towards others before judgment? What if our compassion and kindness fueled curiosity so that we better understood what someone was going through and where they were coming from before we instantly went to places of judgment and condemnation? So what's wrong with a little judgment and condemnation? Well, in our zeal to do good through judging, we can actually do a lot of harm. And Jesus tells a story about that in Matthew 13, where he talks about someone had servants spread seed, wheat, into his field. But overnight, an enemy of that man came and spread seeds of weeds throughout the field. And when the servants realized what had happened, they came to the owner of the land and they said, "Do you want us to pull the weeds?" And do you know what the owner says? He says, "No. Because in your attempt to pull the bad, you're going to pull the good. In your attempt to take care of the weeds, you are going to pull up the wheat." There was a weed. It was poisonous, called darnel, and it looked a whole lot in early stages like wheat. It was hard for a lot of people to tell the difference. And as they grew, one among the other, the roots of the darnel would intertwine with the wheat. So even if you figured out which one to pull, when you pull it up, a lot of times you're going to pull up the wheat at the same time. What Jesus says in the parable is, wait until the end. Wait until the harvest. Take care of it then. Or more to the point, God can take care of it then. Which is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. And God can take care of the judgment when the time is right. So what's wrong with a little judgment and condemnation? Well, it elevates legalism instead of love and life. And that's what we saw in all the encounters about the Sabbath last week. Even when we give religious leaders the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to do something good, Jesus says, in the end, you are lifting up the law, but you're letting go of love. You are valuing a position over people. And so he asks that rhetorical question, what is it all about? Doing good or doing evil? Saving life or taking it? What's wrong with a little judgment and condemnation? Well, it leads us to ignore our own struggles, our own shortcomings, our own sins, which is what Jesus says a couple verses later in Luke 6. So let's look at that together. Starting in verse 41, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take care of the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If you've been in church very long, you have heard this comical image a lot. And I understand the desire to deal with what's going on in another person's eye and ignore the 2x4 coming out of our own. It is one of the classic moves of the magician, right? If I can get you to look over here, then you won't see what's happening over there. If I could just focus on what's going on in your life, I don't really have to be honest and deal with what's happening in my life. What's wrong with a little judgment and condemnation? Ultimately, it takes us in the opposite direction of the ways of God. So a few weeks ago, we heard that passage, be merciful as your Father is merciful. The way of God is the way of mercy. When we start to walk the path of judgment and condemnation, that means we're leaving the path of mercy. We're going in a different direction. And when we choose the way of judgment and condemnation, then we also, Jesus says, open ourselves to greater judgment and condemnation. And we know this is true in our interactions with other people, in our relationships. We see it when some people set themselves up as paragons of virtue, judging and condemning others. When they fall, people delight in their fall from grace, don't they? They rejoice in it. What they see being dished out, they're ready to dish out. But Jesus says it's more than just public reaction, the response of other people around us. When we are generous in offering forgiveness to others, God is generous in offering it to us. But when we refuse to forgive others, God does not forgive us. And Jesus actually goes on to illustrate this in a really creative way. So this is the morning of the Calverts. We had them up a little earlier to introduce our brand newest member, and then TC came up. Well, I'd also ask Jensen to help me out. She's going to come to the front with a little object lesson. Jesus paints the picture, and Jensen's going to help us out. So first, she's going to reread the passage for us from Luke 6:38, and you can use this mic right here. You see it?
Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into you, your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Very good. Thank you so much. Okay, so you're going to help me with that because that's kind of an interesting passage, right? With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus is painting a picture here, and you're going to help me. You want to put your phone down for just a minute, and I want you to pick up, these are black beans. I'm going to stand away from you because I don't have my mask on, but these are black beans in this picture. You see the picture? Can you pick that up? And I want you to pour some of those black beans. This isn't going to be real easy for you to see, whether you're at home or even here. But these are black beans you're going to see poured in there. So pour it in. Don't go all the way to the top, but get it kind of close to the top. Keep going. Keep going. A little more. Okay, stop. Now what I want you to do is I want you to put that down for just a minute. Kind of press down on the top of that bowl of the black beans. Now pick it up. Shake it just a little bit. All right, now put it back down. Now I want you to pick up the pitcher again, and I want you to pour some more to the top. All right, you got to the top. Now I just want you to keep on going. Just keep on pouring. Just keep on pouring. Just keep on pouring. All the way. All the way. Keep on pouring. You can't see it, but you can hear it. Keep on pouring. Keep on pouring. All right. Thank you so much. Let's give her a hand for helping out. Jensen, thank you so much. You can take your phone. When I bought those black beans, they came in a bag. 16 ounces. We don't have to guess how much we get. It's weighed, it's sealed, it's printed, and you know exactly what you're getting from the store. But in the ancient world, and even in some places, if you want to go get your coffee beans a really fancy style instead of already prepackaged, you get your own beans, then instead of it coming pre-measured and sealed, you take a container. And you say, I want a bowl of beans. Here's my money for one bowl of beans. And when you ask for a bowl of beans, you don't want to get a half bowl. You don't want to get 3/4. If you've paid for one full bowl, then that's what you want to get. And Jesus is using that image from the market. And he talks about a good measure. You want a good measure. You want to get what you paid for. And so to make sure you got a good measure, you got the bowl and you pour it, but it kind of piles up in the middle. And so what do? They pat it down and they shake it, or you think about rice. You're making sure you get as much as you're supposed to get. And then you pour it and you fill it to the top. But what does Jesus say? When you are generous with others in mercy and compassion and kindness and even material goods, then what does God do? How does God respond? God is generous in mercy and compassion and kindness. Really, God starts that whole project. He's not just waiting to see what you do. God is merciful and compassionate and kind. And what does God do? He doesn't just measure it right to the top. It's pouring over, spilling over the goodness and grace and mercy of God. And Jesus says, this is what happens for us. Or this is what should happen for us. Instead of holding back in what we give for others, for all the reasons that we hold back, well, they won't really appreciate it. Well, I've already been merciful. I've already been forgiving. I've already been kind. Jesus says, when you go in that direction, don't be surprised if others, even God, goes in that direction. Instead, the kind of people we want to be is the kind of people where our generosity pours over in kindness and compassion and patience and mercy and understanding. And I think this is a critical reminder at any time, but especially now. Don't be quick to criticize and condemn in your relationships. Don't be cheap and withholding with your grace and forgiveness. Fill your relationships to the top with mercy. And then keep on pouring so that it overflows. Don't be quick to criticize and condemn the faith of others and the faith practices of others, whether it's other people in the room or other people at home or other people in our community or country or world. Be the kind of people that let mercy and compassion and grace pour over. Let it overflow. And maybe now more than ever, we need to hear these messages of refusing the way of judgment and condemnation in our country to others. It was a couple of weeks ago now that John Crabtree told me the story about going to a convenience store. It was during the pandemic, and I think it was earlier in the pandemic, but I don't remember for sure. But the store that he went to, behind the counter, there was a woman of East Asian descent, and she had worked there for a year or two already. And when he walked in, there was one other customer in the store, and that man was yelling at the woman behind the counter about the virus that we're all dealing with, as if this one woman, out of a couple of billion people of East Asian descent, was the source of everything that was going on. And it wouldn't surprise me if this was someone who was yelling, "This virus is a hoax, but you're the source." And John walked in, he tried to bring some calm into that situation, and when that person left, he tried to bring some compassion to that woman. And not just that time, but every time he went in. In fact, he said, "It may have gotten uncomfortable. I may have gone over the top in the compassion that I tried to give, and a little extra money and a little extra tip. But don't you want to be the people who give a little extra instead of not enough? If we err, don't you want to err on the side of pouring over, spilling mercy and compassion and kindness everywhere, rather than always coming up short?" John's story is just one of thousands of reminders we receive every day of how polarized we can be, how quick we can be to judge and condemn. It is so easy to prejudge people based on just a little bit of information that we have about them. Ethnicity or nationality or political leanings or whatever it may be. It is so easy to demonize people because of different perspectives. It is so easy to let criticism of positions slip into condemnation of people. The currency we use in our interactions with others is the currency God uses with us. What we dish out is what we get back. And we know what we want to get back from God and others around us. We want mercy. We want generosity. We want love. We want forgiveness. We don't want it coming up short either. We want a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and pouring over. And if that's what we want to receive, that's what we're called to give. So we're going to close this morning with a song that celebrates the mercy of God. And then to end the service, Jerry and Martha Ward are going to come to the front. And we are going to say together, they're going to lead us in saying the Lord's Prayer. And you remember there is that powerful and wonderful reminder in the Lord's Prayer that the mercy, forgiveness we want to receive is the mercy and forgiveness we need to show to others. And so that's how we'll close out the service. Let's sing and then we'll close together.